Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Every human being was created with an incredible potential. God created you with an incredible purpose, for an incredible purpose. I want to continue today looking at that incredible human potential of every man that has ever been born. And in the last program, we ended over in Romans 8. I want to pick it up and begin there again. In this program, we'll begin in Romans 8 and verse 18. And it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Well, we do go through many sufferings in this life, don't we? We have many experiences, many problems and trials and sufferings that we go through. Now, there's happiness and joy as well, but we do have many difficulties. And you're probably going through difficulties and have gone through difficulties and will go through more. And yet, if you understand this glorious gospel, the glorious gospel of the kingdom and the government and the family of God, of which you can be born into, then it puts everything into the proper perspective. Paul says that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, being born into God's own family and being just like Jesus Christ, as I'll show you in this program today, you can be and will be just like Jesus Christ. That is your potential. Now, when you understand that, it certainly does put the sufferings of this present time into its proper context, to where it can't even be compared with that incredible potential, that incredible future. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation," as it should read, "waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." Well, what does that mean? Entire creation? You mean the entire universe is waiting for the manifestation, or the birth is what it's talking about, of sons of God? Now, last time we talked about how Jesus Christ was born of a woman. He was human and born of the flesh, but then he was born of God. He became the Son of God with power by a resurrection from the dead. This is talking about sons of God. Individuals called out of this world and given God's Spirit. They have God's Spirit dwelling inside of them, as verse 9 points out, and they're led by God's Spirit, and therefore they are the sons of God, as verse 14 says. And they have such a close, intimate relationship with God that they can actually call him Abba, Father, which is in the Greek a more intimate term even than the English word daddy. And if children, then heirs of God. You see, there's nothing ambiguous about this. Children inherit from their father, from their parents. And we are children of God and therefore heirs of God. And it says joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, a son of God, just like Jesus Christ, is a son of God. If so be that we suffer with him, we will be glorified together. And the entire creation, the entire universe is waiting for the birth and the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20 says, "For the creation was made subject to vanity," or to futility, "not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope." See, the creation is sitting out there kind of in futility right now because of sin, because of rebellion. It was made subject to that because of free moral agency. And God designed it to be that way. He gave the angels free moral agency, and he gives you free moral agency. You have freedom to choose. If you make wise choices, there are great benefits and blessings, ultimately leading to being born into God's family and fulfilling your incredible human potential. If you make poor choices, well, Now, there are consequences. You have free moral agency. It gives you the freedom to choose. It does not give you the freedom to avoid the consequences of those choices. Verse 21 says, backing up to verse 20, the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So you see, there is hope. We do have suffering. There is futility. We see that around us because of sin, and sin is there because of free moral agency and individuals having the right to choose, to make choices, but it's all subjected in hope. There's hope that you see. There's a plan. God has a plan, and there's a purpose behind all of this. Verse 21 says, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, who are those children? Is the universe, is the creation itself about to be delivered from corruption, from bondage? Why is the universe in the bondage of corruption? Well, we've talked about that over the last couple of programs. There was sin, there was rebellion. Lucifer was placed on this earth, and he had an opportunity to beautify it, and he had angels given to him to work under him, and he perverted his own mind, and he perverted their minds, and they rebelled, and they fought against their own creator, and in that rebellion, they brought all of this chaos and all of this emptiness and disorder into the universe. And God had to set his hand to solve that problem. And so he sent forth his spirit. He renewed the face of the earth. He said, let us make man and let us make man to look like us, to look like God and the Word, the ones that became the Father and the Son. Let us make man to look like us in our likeness and to also be in our image, to learn to resemble us, to learn to resemble us in character and in how he thinks. God expects you to become like him, to learn to think like him, you see. And that's why the entire creation is in the bondage of corruption. And here the creation is personified as needing to be delivered and just crying out, groaning and travailing, waiting for the glorious liberty, the glorious freedom that the children of God are going to bring, that those that have God's Holy Spirit and are led by God's Holy Spirit, and they cry out to their Father and even calling him Abba, Father, well, they are going to bring glorious liberty to this universe, to the earth first, and then from there on out into the universe. Now, that's mind-boggling, really, if you think about it, but that's what these verses say. That's what is clearly revealed in God's Word, going back to Genesis 1. Let us create man in our image, in our likeness, to look like us and to become like us. And then Jesus Christ became the Son of God, and God became the Father. And as we read last time in verse 29, it says that Jesus Christ was just the firstborn of many brethren, many more sons to come, many more brothers to be born into the family. Now, does God mean what he says? Does God mean what he says? Is the creation out there in the bondage of corruption? Well, look around. NASA has some incredible pictures, incredible machines that can go out and look even at Pluto and other places and just look at the corruption that's there. Look at the decay that's there. There's no life. They can't find life because they're not going to, because the entire universe is subject to this bondage of corruption and decay, the tohu and bohu that we talked about last time. And God, the only reason we have life here on this earth is because God sent forth his spirit and he renewed the face of the earth. And he renewed the face of the earth because he was going to prepare it to create man. And he created man for a purpose, to develop the very character and mind of God himself. And he created us in God's own likeness with the potential of being born into God's very own family, just like Jesus Christ has been born as a Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. Verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the sonship that is the redemption of our body." Again, that's that same Greek word spelled H-U-I-O-T-H-E-S-I-A. And it's translated here as adoption, just like in verse 15, but it actually means sonship. And it's translated falsely by the translators because they just could not fathom that God actually means what he says, that he has created man with this incredible potential to be born sons in his own family. Now, if you'll skip down, if you're following along and reading in your Bibles, look at verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose." See, we do have to be called out of this world. We have to be given God's Holy Spirit. We have to be humble and teachable and be led by God's Holy Spirit. And if we are, yes, there's suffering. Yes, there are many different trials and tests in this life. But as verse 18 says, that those sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the incredible future, the incredible human potential, the glory that is about to be revealed in us. And what a future it is. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to free this earth from the bondage of corruption and evil and pain and suffering and lies that it's in right now. And then eventually we're going to go on out to the entire universe, to the entire creation, and deliver the entire creation from the bondage of corruption. The children of God, as verse 21 says, are going to bring glorious, glorious liberty to this universe. And no matter what you may be going through right now, keep that focus, keep that future in mind. Now, it says here again in verse 29 that Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brethren, just the firstborn among many. Human beings, having God's Holy Spirit, being led by God's Holy Spirit, are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
We'll be back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, in just a moment. Wanted to mention to you a book that you're going to want to request. The title is The Incredible Human Potential. This free book, written by Herbert W. Armstrong, has 13 chapters, a very large book, and it gets into the heart of this issue. What is the incredible human potential? Some of the titles of the chapters are Christ's Gospel Was Suppressed, Not Heard from the First Century Until Now, The Startling Revelation of What Was Christ's Gospel, The Incredible Human Potential at Last Revealed, and World Peace, How It Will Come. Those are just some of the chapters. Again, there are 13 chapters. It's a large book, and it's going to teach you about Christ's true gospel message, and that has everything to do with mankind's incredible human potential. Request that free of charge. It's at thetrumpet.com. Go to thetrumpet.com, go to the Literature tab, and look for The Incredible Human Potential. You can download it, you can read it for free at the website, or you can have it sent to your house. Make sure you request The Incredible Human Potential by going to thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Hello again, everyone. I'd like to go to Hebrews 1 to continue what we were talking about before the break. Hebrews 1 now, and verse 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things." Now, here is talking about Jesus Christ has been appointed by God as heir of all things. Now, we just finished reading over in Romans 8 how we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he is heir, the heir of all things. Now, you put these together, and if you believe what God says, then that means you also, human beings also, have the potential to inherit all things. All things, just like Jesus Christ. Does that include the universe? Does that mean that there's a purpose for you? Does that mean that there's an inspiring, incredible future awaiting if we will submit ourselves to God and receive His Holy Spirit and be led by that Spirit and actually begin growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ learning how to develop the very mind and character of God? That's really what that word image is all about there in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And God, in these last days, has spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. You see, again, going back to John 1, there was God and the Word, and God created all things through the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and was begotten by His Father, by God, and God became a father. Now, He was born as a human from Mary. He was born as the Son of God with power by a resurrection from the dead, as Romans 1 and verse 4 says. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Jesus Christ is the express image. Literal translation of that means representation of His substance. Jesus Christ is the express image. He is a literal representation of His Father. The word that's translated from the Greek into express image is in the Greek, it is C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. It means character. The word is character. It's even spelled almost exactly like the English word character. You see, Jesus Christ has the exact same character of His Father, and that's what God wants from you. He wants you to grow into the very image of Him. And just like Jesus Christ, we want to take on the very image, the very mind, and the very character of God the Father and of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Going on, and upholding all things by the power, by the word of His power, and when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and He died, and that's, of course, extremely important for you and for me, paying the penalty of our sins, reconciling us back to the Father, giving us an opportunity to have a relationship with our Father. And then He was resurrected and became the Son of God with power by a resurrection from the dead. And now He's actually entered into the throne room of the universe with His Father in the third heaven and sits at the right hand of God Himself. Verse 4, being made so much better. Now you see, this is all about Christ, but it's all about you as well. Being made so much better than the angels. See, so much better than the angels. Why? Why so much better than the angels? As He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What name has He attained? Well, it's talking about the God family name. You see, the God family name. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He bears the same name as His Father. And you also are sons of God. If you receive and are led by God's Holy Spirit, you become heirs of God, just like any child is an heir of his father, and you become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And as verse 2 points out, He is heir of all things. He's appointed heir of all things, and He has a much higher position, and He's been made so much better than the angels, because He's obtained a more excellent name than they. You see, God has something in mind for you and for me that is far, far higher than being on the level of angels. Something far greater and grander is your potential. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said He at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten you, And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. See, to which of the angels did God say, well, you're my son? Now, they are created sons, as the book of Job says, but this book very, or this letter that Paul wrote, it's very clear that God did not offer that same potential to the angels. And he simply did not say to them, this day have I begotten you, but he did say that to you, and he does say that to me. You see, human beings created with an incredible human potential. Now, again, this is the gospel message, and in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says Satan has blinded the world from seeing this gospel message, but this is what is clearly revealed in the Bible. Do you understand it? Have you heard this preached? Have you heard this message? Verse 5 of the next chapter says, for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, of which we speak. You see, you have this present evil world that we live in. This is not talking about this world. It's talking about the world to come, the world to come, the world tomorrow, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and rules it. And notice what's going to happen. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? And David, that's referring back to King David, he asked those questions. Verse 7 says, you made him a little lower than the angels, or it could even read, for a little while lower. Now, we are certainly lower than the angels right now, and for a little while we are lower than the angels. But even that statement shows that we won't remain lower than the angels. I mean, this is incredible. But this is what God's word says. You made him, made man, a little lower, for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and had set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. The potential for man is to have all things put under his feet. See, just like Jesus Christ is the heir of all things, as we read in chapter 1 and verse 2, mankind, now that you can see if you do a little bit of research, and we'll get into this even more, but these verses are talking about, and in some translations are even translated, the word universe, the entire universe. This is what God's talking about. The entire universe will be placed under man. That is your incredible human potential, you see, like over in Romans 8, where it talks about the sons of God bringing glorious liberty to the creation that currently is held in the bondage of corruption. And we'll start with the earth, and we'll go out from there. And notice 1 John 3. Now, this shouldn't be hard for people to understand. I mean, if you just read and believe what God's word says, but you know, the two hardest things, as Herbert Armstrong said, Herbert W. Armstrong said that the two hardest things for a man to do is, number one, admit he's wrong, and number two, to actually believe God. Now, these verses say what they say. Do you believe it? Do you believe what these verses say? Notice 1 John 3 and verse 1. What a vision this is. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What honor has the Father bestowed on us? This is the Apostle John writing, and he's writing to brethren in God's church, just human beings. And he said, well, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of God? And therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, just like we just read over in Hebrews 2. All things, the entire universe, is going to be put under our feet. Things that we can't even see right now. We can't even see it all right now, what God has in mind to put under our feet. And it says here, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are going to look just like Jesus Christ. We're going to see him as he is right now in his glory, full glory, shining brighter than the sun at full strength. As Revelation 1 says, his head and his hairs white as wool, and his eyes as flames of fire, his feet as burnished brass. You are going to see the glorified Jesus Christ, and God intends for you to look just like him, with eyes that blaze forth like flames of fire. It's awesome what these verses are revealing. Can you believe it? Can you believe what God says? And what will you do about it? Verse 3 says, every man that has this hope of the gospel, this hope of the incredible human potential, this hope of being born into God's family, of seeing Christ as he is and being as he is and inheriting all things with him. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You see, in Genesis 1, in verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. He did not create them in a condition of tohu and bohu. There was rebellion. And then God had to send his spirit forth to renew the face of the earth, to prepare it for man. And as verse 26 says, Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now when God says, and let us make man in our image and after our likeness, that is exactly what he means. So believe what your Bible says. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.